Okay, so tell me why you took that personality test this week.
Well, I bought strength finders for all of my family members.
Cool.
And Barry and I had spent a whole Saturday morning with cups of coffee discussing strength finders. So I'm just in personality profile mode.
I love it.
And I had such a good time taking it, except that, golly, Sherry, I just have such angst over my personality profiles.
Why is that?
They peg me completely. And I kind of don't like that. But also, some of my strengths, I feel like I'm always defined as bossy. I don't want to be that person.
Well, you put me in a bind because you emailed me and you asked me to guess your personality.
I know.
And so I guess the safe guess.
You guessed the nice girl one. I wasn't that girl. You knew that.
You have the same personality as my daughter. And growing up, she was always like, it sounds so mean. It sounds so mean. I don't want to be this one.
Yeah. Just to clarify, I'm choleric, which sounds like a disease that is waterborne.
Or the other term is driver or leader. But you know, here's the thing. When you emailed back and you said you feel like over the last few years that God has kind of tempered it and stuff. And I got to thinking 10 years ago, do you think we would have been friends?
I have thought about that before because we're both strong personalities and we're both kind of bossy.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, good girls breaking bad rules.
Today, we're processing our conversation with Mary Snyder and exploring why having a friend network is such a powerful thing.
Let's talk about Mary.
How much fun is she?
First of all, not only is she way too much fun, but I got to spend 4 days with her a couple weeks ago, and she's just as much fun in real life as she was in the interview. I think we're all going to be like lining up to be her BFF.
I thought the same thing, though. So many of the women we've interviewed, we've talked about how we want to be friends with them now, but Mary's the fun friend that you want on your street or your cul-de-sac to, you know, bring the life to the party for sure.
Oh, she absolutely is. In fact, if there's anybody I've seen who's actually kind of gives Kathy Lip a run for her money in terms of the fun factor, those two in the same room is actually kind of a scary prospect. That's an awful lot of fun and charisma in the same place.
Well, let's start, since we're talking about the fun part of friendship, with her suggestion to take road trips together. Mary, if you're listening, you're invited to go on any road trip that we plan. I think everybody would agree. So have you taken a road trip with a friend, and how did that go?
My best friend from high school, we used to plan little day trips or weekend trips. We've never done anything long, but for one of her birthdays, I planned to get away at a bed and breakfast. We found a little town, and we went bookstore browsing and ate at coffee shops and stuff. And I realized we did used to do that kind of thing when I was young and didn't have kids and didn't have a husband. Uh-huh. And as I got older, I lost the intentionality and I lost even the let's have fun together as friends. You know, I don't know what kicked in. I think what kicked in was, oh, we have kids the same age. Let's do a play date. Let's work
yes.
together for the good of our kids. Let's do PTA bake sale together. And friendship and work became synonymous rather than friendship and fun. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's true. Seasons of life are a real thing. And when your kids are little, and even now that I'm an empty nester, if I leave for long periods of time, it means I'm leaving Barry at home
sure.
alone. So, I mean, you have to navigate all of that. But yes, this last year, my bestie Holly went with me when I went to Suffer for Jesus in Lake Tahoe.
That's
and did
right.
a speaking event there. And so we stayed.
Let's
we just planned
point
to
out
stay.
You were in California, and A, you
yeah.
didn't tell me, and you didn't invite me, and you didn't come see me, but I'm not bitter because I'm such a forgiving friend. Oh, back to what you were saying, because this isn't all
it
about
is
me.
No, it's terrible. And it was after I had made this big plan that I thought, wait a minute. Lake Tahoe is in California.
Sherry might hear about this. I'm going to be in big trouble.
Okay, here's the sad part. It's not so much of a friend problem, it's a geographical problem. Like, I'm like, Oh, yeah, I'm close to Sherry when I'm there. Anyway, I'm so sorry.
I'm just playing the guilt card the way a good friend would. Back to the story you were actually telling.
And so we planned to have 3 extra days after the speaking event. So she came and was my assistant, which was awesome during the speaking event. And then we had 3 days together. And can I just say that my favorite memory, yes, riding the tram up to the top of the mountain to look down on the lake, all of that was awesome. But my favorite memory is we were walking back to the car and I got to laughing so hard, I had to stop and cross my legs because I am a woman of a certain age and I did sort of need to go potty. And I was not sure if I was going to make it because I was laughing so hard. People might have noticed, our listeners, that I love to laugh. And so
Absolutely.
it's just moments like those on a trip that you can't, or it's some kind of extended time together that's difficult to have that without some extended time and being intentional.
That's true. I'm thinking of the remember when moments in my friendships, and they almost always were part of an extended block of time together. Not that they can't happen over coffee, but they're more likely to be when you've let your guard down, you've spent a certain amount of time together. There's the inside jokes are starting to develop,
Yeah,
and
it takes time. I was thinking about, well, what does it take, at least, for relationships, good relationships to develop? The number one thing is time. And you think back to our college days where we sat in dorm rooms for hours at a time talking to each other, or across the dark room after the lights have been turned out with your roommate. That's when those deep friendships develop, but it's hard to find that kind of time as an adult. So that's part of it, the time, but the vulnerable sharing in that time. And for me, of course, a big dose of laughter is a must with my friends. You know, it's a bonding thing.
One of the things I loved that we talked with Mary about was her intentionality of making the time happen and causing the proximity and being the one to go first and to invite other people. So, do you find that you do a lot of initiating with your friendships? Do you find yourself responding? Do you find it balancing? What's happening in your life these days?
I think that has changed for me over time. I always used to be the initiator, but I've started realizing that I had developed a lot of one-sided friendships. And I think it was really in my worst days of perfectionism that I was the least wise about my friendship. It was like I dove into whatever was right in front of me, whoever, I just kind of floated into friendships. And then I worked so hard to make it work and try to prove myself. And probably not surprisingly, those are the ones that have not lasted. So one of the things that I really ask myself about questions now is, this is my big question, is this person as invested as I am? And if they are, then that's great. We're going to be friends. And if they aren't, I've learned to feel that that's okay too. But I am not going to continuously invest in a friendship that the other person is not investing as well. So, I know that was kind of a long answer to a short
No,
question.
that's great. I was going to say, would you repeat that, what you said about perfection? I'm going to try to see if I can do it from memory, which is in your worst days of perfectionism, you were the least wise about your friendships. Is that how you said?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's profound. What if God points to somebody and says, I want you to help them, I want you to take care of them? Are you then going to take this test of whether they're a good person to invest in, or is that a different scenario completely?
I think that's a different scenario. So I have decided that there's a difference. Well, maybe I should parse it into three pieces instead of two. There's being friendly, which I can do with everyone because I'm called to. That's part of our kindness that we talked about. Part of really loving people is I can be friendly, but that's different than being friends. And that's different than a call to ministry in someone's life. Now, sometimes those calls to ministry where you are giving a lot to someone for a long period of time, that turns into a friendship. But if it never becomes reciprocal, I've had to realize that's not a friendship. And I've mixed up the three. So there's three types of people that I interact with: those that I'm friendly with, those that I'm friends with, those that I'm doing ministry to. two or four.
Sure.
Sometimes they overlap, sometimes they intermingle, but I've learned to not mistake one for the other.
Just because somebody's being friendly doesn't mean they're my new best friend.
Oh, okay.
And just because somebody's ministering to me doesn't mean we're suddenly bonded and have become BFFs overnight. And so I think for women, this can be a little dicey, especially if we're in a season of neediness.
Mm-hmm.
And just recognizing one of the things I took away from Mary is the whole idea that there's different, she called it the girlfriend network.
Yes.
The idea that there are different small portions of our lives that we share with different women. And she said there's the people, women she goes and has Mexican food with. There's the woman that she dishes about her nails with. And that was really eye-opening for me to, I wish I had realized that much, much younger. I think I would have spread my neediness and my, and just the different parts of who I am over more people rather than looking for that one friend. I mean, that's way too much of a burden for the, whoever it is I picked to be my friend for the for life. And it's definitely, it wasn't healthy for me. And so this idea of being able to say, you know, we have this kind of friendship where we have the, we talk about books or we, you know, we talk about our kids, you know, that works for me a lot better.
Absolutely. I loved that. When she said it, I recognized that I am probably in one of the happiest friendship phases of my life right now. And it's because I have a friendship network. I wouldn't have expressed it that way. I hadn't really recognized it. But when she said that, I had that flash of insight mm-hmm. that, oh, this is why this time of life I'm choosing intentionally rather than just floating in and trying to prove myself. And like you said, I'm not choosing one person to try to meet all my needs. And it's just working so much better. Mary's a genius.
Well, it sounds so freeing. How could we put this into an action step, which I'm terrible at, but I give it my best shot. What might that look like? And I'm thinking about some of our other conversations in the past about how as people pleasers, perfectionists, we can sometimes lead with a little too much vulnerability that's designed to get the other person to bond to us quickly. And so for me, what it's saying is I need to do a better job of something I'm not really good at. And that is just casual chit chat. Sometimes talking about the weather isn't a bad way to start, or talking about the event we're at. Just that surface conversation might keep me from overcommitting too early to something or coming across as overly needy or overly desperate. You know, Mary was talking about kind of testing the waters and seeing what kind of friendship something might actually be and seeing if the values match.
Yes.
So to see if it's going to have some longevity to it, not in a way of being dishonest or coy or putting walls up, but just saying, you know what, good friendships take some time to develop. So it's okay to go one little step at a time rather than diving so deep, so fast, which is what at least this recovering perfectionist used to do. I don't know. Does that match your experience at all?
Oh, I love what you just said. And I think not only is it okay, it's actually wise.
Mm.
Because I ran across a scripture. I was doing some study of scripture on friendship. Proverbs 12:26a, the first part says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully."
Oh,
what a concept, you know, and carefully is intentionally, wisely. To me, what you said about chit chat. So not only are we keeping things light and going deeper gradually,
mm-hmm.
but listening a lot. One of the things
Wait, what did you just say? I wasn't paying attention.
Right. Yes, listening. Oh, gosh, that's so hard.
I was too busy thinking about what I want to say next.
But really listening and paying attention to red flags. Yeah. One of the things that I have made the mistake of time and time again is I think I've shared this, that my fleshly part loves to hear some gossip. Now, I don't tend to pass on gossip, and that makes me look good, you know. But man, do I love to hear it. Lady Astor, who was an American woman and one of the first women members of the British Parliament, she used to say, "If you don't have anything nice to say, come sit by me."
Oh, no.
I have laughed about that because I was like, oh yeah, I was Lady Astor. I was that person. But what I've realized is that person who will say negative things about other people to me also says negative things about me to other people.
Exactly.
So I pay really close attention to that now. How does this person talk about her current friends? Because mm-hmm. that's going to be how she will talk about me in the future. So,
you know, yeah. I have one friend, and I noticed within the first few months of spending time with her, and we happened to take a couple of day road trips together. She's the person I call whenever Kathy Lipp is speaking in a 2-hour radius. And I discovered early on, she will A, not say anything negative about anybody ever, and B, she has absolutely no response when I say something negative. Like, it just flat lines. And it probably only took me 2 drives to realize, oh, this is a thing. She doesn't say, Sherry, stop it. She just won't respond. It's awfully hard to keep going when there's no response, when nobody giggles, when you've said something about somebody, or, I mean, she just doesn't join. The conversation dies a almost embarrassing death of silence. And she's a good person to be with because I know, and I've talked to her about it, and she just smiles. She won't even talk about it. She just smiles because, yes, as a matter of fact, it is a thing. Now that I think about it, I need to hang around her more often.
Wow. I was thinking, what a great friend. And what, you trust her.
Oh, I'm absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
Because there's a deep trust that develops with a person like that. Yeah. Oh, I want to be that Amy.
So the grit aspect is that friendships do take risk. We can extend ourselves to people who are going to say no and not be a good match. And they aren't actually rejecting us. They're saying no to that one invitation. But I've allowed that to cause me that fear of rejection to just sit back and do the fine. It's easier not to have friends than to extend myself.
Yes.
And what I'm finding now is that's not necessarily true. It's when I put too much weight on an invitation, like, would you like to go out to coffee? When it used to be, and by the way, this is my entire future on the line, you know, a yes means you are accepting me completely. A no means you're rejecting me completely. It's just coffee, really. It's just coffee. It's
so healthy.
A conversation. Good. And to realize the more we do it, the more we extend ourselves. Some people are going to say no. Some people are going to say yes. And one coffee may be all we have with some people. And that's okay, mm-hmm. too. It doesn't have to mean anything. When I go into what things mean, I'm generally mean, and I'm generally mean about me. So
I love that. Yes. Yes. Well, and the realization that we're not going to connect with everyone at the same level, you know, I can be friendly.
Yeah.
We can be friendly without necessarily going to that next step of being friends because we just may not connect.
What was the grace that you see in our conversation with Mary?
I really loved her point and her advice to choose the woman that's in front of us instead of trying to continually seek after the perfect friend. And that may sound like opposite of choosing your friends carefully, but I don't really think it is. Mm. Her advice was that person doesn't have to be just like you to be your friend. There's a lot of grace in that. And I think there's a lot to be gained from having friends who are not like us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you came up with a great bad rule that once again pokes me in my soft spot. But what was the bad rule you came up for these episodes?
I need to find a bestie who meets all my needs.
You know, when you say it that way, I recognize it for what it is, which is a really bad rule. But
it is.
Okay. So what's the truth? What's the fact we can focus on instead?
Well, this is directly from Mary. So good. Choosing a friend network carefully makes for healthy, happy friendships.
And I'll just end by saying I'm really glad we're friends. If we'd met 10 years ago, I don't think we would have been friends. I would have been too intimidated by you. And so I would have tried to impress you. And then I got all teary-eyed thinking we would have missed out on being friends. How sad is that?
I'm so glad we met at the right time then.
I am too.
I treasure you. Yes.
Well, vice versa. Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode46.
You'll find links to this week's Digging Deeper download, Bible verse art, and transcript.
We hope you've enjoyed episode number 46 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Join us next week when we'll be talking with Denise Hughes, author of the Word Writers Inductive Bible Study Series.
For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it.
And here's the worst part. What if I had met you and not liked you? Ew. I mean, I can't even imagine that. No, I can't. You were like one of the friendliest, one of the sweetest people I know. And so sometimes when you tell me some of these stories, like Action Amy and some of the truth telling, I'm like, really? Is she sure about that?
When people describe me as sweet, it really does crack me up because my husband would never describe me that way. He says I'm kind. He says I'm one of the kindest people he knows, which is a huge compliment. But sweet, my mother, when Barry came to my parents to ask if he could marry me, my mother just stared him down. She goes, "You know you're getting a tiger by the tail, right?" That was her answer.